This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Many Christians are familiar with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most of the traditional Christian denominations have a very clear understanding of Christ, our Savior. Many have connected over the centuries with the gospel of Christ crucified or Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is a common dialogue, common understanding among most Christians today. It's the gospel of Christ, the messenger. But what if? Beyond this admittedly underpinning, foundational meaning to the gospel, there was an added dimension to this gospel message. Well, believe it or not, your Bible claims there is. It's a dimension that, if it could find renewed emphasis, would provide increased meaning and reason for wanting to be a Christian. It would give added purpose to the motivation of striving for the prize of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Yes, it's the message about Christ's good news of His coming world-ruling kingdom. This segment of Christ's gospel message, unfortunately, has been de-emphasized over the centuries of Christian history. Today's program will explore this missing dimension of Christ's gospel message.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. Glad to have you. Hopefully you'll spend the next half hour with us as we go through this topic that I think many of us, frankly, are quite familiar with. The understanding of the traditional gospel message. And what is that? I think we're all well aware, is, as we have come to understand, the gospel of Christ crucified. I think it's epitomized quite clearly for many of us in the scripture located there in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Many of you are very familiar with it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso should ever believe on Him should not perish, but should have eternal life, everlasting life. And I think that really says it all in many regards to the message for many of the televangelists today, many ministers and Christian denominations and churches all over the world. They talk about Christ, the messenger, the Messiah, the Savior. As a matter of fact, over here, and I've already turned to it, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you'll notice in verse 17, even the Apostle Paul substantiates the fact that this is indeed a very important dimension of the gospel. Notice here in Paul's words, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." That's what we're talking about. And here it is now, according to Paul, in this particular segment of Scripture. He says here in verse 17, "not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ," the staros, the stake, not necessarily a upright beam with a cross beam. This is a staros. It means in the Greek stake, "should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Look at this now. Drop down to verse 22. "For the Jews require a sign." Notice, the Greeks, they seek after wisdom. But in verse 23, we read here, "but we," that is Paul states here, the apostles, we these early disciples in this early New Testament church, "we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." So to those who are called, Jesus Christ has great value. Others do not see it. And many are familiar with the take, the dimension, the approach of Christ crucified, of Christ in us, the power is in the blood, the old rugged cross. So many of us are familiar with come as you are, that God will forgive you, and all the things that are associated with Christ and as the messenger, as the Savior, as the Messiah. But my question today to all of you, as was to myself many years ago, was in considering Jesus Christ and coming to grips with the appeal, the attempt to persuade me to repent and to give my heart to the Lord. My question, like anyone who's being asked to consider something for obtaining, whether it's a purchase or whether it's to receive as a gift or whatever, is the question, what's in it for me? I think all of us, when we go out, we buy something, whether it's a television, a vacuum, a sweeper, a refrigerator, a dishwasher, you name it, we always want to know, well, why should I buy this one over that one, right? I mean, what's the benefits of this one doesn't provide that would afford me a better advantage, more benefits, to be a greater beneficiary with this one in my possession? And so it is. In religion, too, it acts in many respects, but I think in many cases you would agree with me that the question is, why? Why should I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? That's what I want to talk about a little bit today and ask whether or not is there a side of the coin or a dimension of the gospel that has been de-emphasized, maybe marginalized to the point that if we would understand it, would give us a different take on Christendom, the promise of the saved, and what our destiny is as human beings. I want to talk a little bit about that, but as it is our rule here on the Armor of God, let me interrupt myself to present to you our two free offers for today's program. Both are free, and again, as I said, it gives me great pleasure to announce that and to let you know that they are free. One is titled, What is the Real Gospel Truth? This is a small little booklet, easily readable. In a one sitting, it's probably about maybe 30, 40 pages long, but it will go into far more detail of what I'll be able to go through today on this short telecast. And along with that, as a supplement, and will certainly help to augment the understanding of our topic today, a one-hour disc given before a live audience titled, What is the Kingdom of God? Very important add-on or adjunct to this presentation that will help you to better understand that there is indeed a dimension of the gospel that has been de-emphasized and has been somewhat marginalized. And as a result, many Christians today really do not appreciate the real value of why they should accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Dial now, 888-578-8791. Don't forget about that website there, www.cgi.org. And also let me remind you about our webcasting, free webcasting on our home site there. All you've got to do is hit the link once you get on our website at www.cgi.org. Every Saturday we provide these particular webcasts free of charge. Again, you don't have to have any passwords or anything. There's nothing complex about it. Just get to our homepage, follow the links, and on Saturday, the times will be announced there. You can go ahead and connect up on that. So go ahead now. We have operators standing by, that 888 number, 578-8791. And one more time, that website at www.cgi.org. Now, back to this program. We're talking about the gospel. And I've made this turn, I've made this corner here about the fact of why. Why should I accept Jesus Christ? I mean, what is it for? Many think, well, you know, the whole objective in accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is to be able to obtain an entrance at the pearly gates there where St. Peter, you know, he's got the old clipboard and he's marking names off, you know, and he's saying, oh, okay, yeah, here's Bill Watson. Oh, yep, the gates are open to you. Sorry, buddy, you don't have the key. Woo! And there's the trap door opens and I go tumbling down to that place called hell. You know, that's the alternative, of course. But my point is many of us think that that's why we're called. That's why we live the way we live. That's why we're modifying our behaviors according to what we understand to be the right things to do after we accept Jesus Christ, of which, by the way, it's somewhat convoluted in my mind. I mean, I try to think about this from time to time when so many of us in the Christian community claim that Christ nailed the law to the cross, and I think to myself, well, then if he nailed the law to the cross, what are the guidelines? What are the rules? What are the items that I should be adhering to that define the right and the wrong? I mean, if there are no absolutes that tell me what is right and or wrong, how do I know I'm right? Because I could be wrong thinking I'm right, and I could be right and think I'm wrong. It's rather confusing when you really think about it, my friends. I mean, I think you'd have to admit, you remove a center point of reference, guess what? You have no reference. And yet today, many of us in our denominational divisions of Christianity today make up our own rules. There's some of us that think that dancing's a sin. Go to a movie? Naughty, naughty, naughty. You shouldn't be going to movies. You know, you can't drink, even though Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine. And as a matter of fact, he was even complimented on the wine that he miraculously made out of that water by hearing words of complimentary fashion stating, hey, you saved the best for last. Remember that? You can read about that at the wedding there at Cana. But my point is, you know, so many have just relegated Jesus, the messenger, Jesus, the Messiah, to a gospel of love. Kind of like the Beatles. All you need is love, love, you know, the Beatles. That's all they said. All you need is love. Is that what the gospel's about? All you need is love. All you need is forgiveness. God's mercy. And you're in. Well, you know what? You're right. You need all those things. You need God's love. You need God's forgiveness. And you do need God's mercy to get in. But that's my question. To get in for what? To get in for what? When I get to heaven, what am I going to do? What's it all for? That's my question today. And therein lies the underpinning reason for this telecast. I want to talk about that missing dimension to answer the question of why you should make the sacrifices you should make, the modifications in your behavior that you should be making after you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, after you become baptized, after you repent of your sins, of which, by the way, the definition of sin is transgression of law. Because the law, my friends, just as a little sidebar here, is very, very contemporary to modern-day Christians, like it or not. And it is incumbent on all of us, as a matter of fact, mandated upon Christians for us today to adhere to the laws of God. Now, don't get me wrong, before I get started here in answering this question, that I'm attempting to in some way mitigate, marginalize the sacrifice of Christ. No. Don't put that rap on me. The fact of it is, my friends, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his death, his suffering, his passion is key. It is king. It is the foundation and the fundamental element that underpins the whole Christian movement and provides the opportunity for you and me to be able to even have access of what I'm about to introduce to you as to the why you should repent and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Turn with me, if you would, over here to the book of Galatians. In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul, talking to another congregation with different set of circumstances and issues that were surrounding this particular congregation, has Paul somewhat concerned. And here in chapter 1 and in verse 6, Paul's surprised. He actually even expresses it somewhat incredulously. He says here, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul's incredulous. He's surprised. He's taken back. He's stunned. He says here, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel. In other words, he's saying, look, there's only one gospel. And this is not another gospel. The fact of it is a perversion of the gospel. Paul didn't mince words. You either loved him or you hated him. Paul was really very forthright and very clear about his opinions regarding things that he was dealing with in most cases. Verse 8 now, he goes on, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Paul is, as I say, he's not holding back here, my friends. He is very, very adamant about the fact that there were some interlopers, some transient type of individuals coming and going that were perverting the gospel and spinning it in such a way that it was confusing people and causing people all kinds of consternation and disappointment and confusion. And Paul was warning these individuals about this particular case. Notice this, and I want to put this on the screen for all of you to read along with me here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now notice this. Paul here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we read here where he's basically, again, defending himself against these false preachers, individuals that were spinning the gospel. They were not telling it like it should be told and explaining it the way Jesus intended it to be explained. And Paul, giving full warning to all of these Christians here in the city of Corinth, begins here in verse 3 of chapter 11, stating, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes, look at this now, preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with me. Notice, Paul is warning these Christians. He's warning these Christians, my friends, about the fact that there are false preachers, false ministers out there that are attempting, for reasons of working another agenda, to pervert the gospel of Christ. Notice, he goes on here in verse 5. Well, I suppose, he says, I was not a whit behind the very chief of apostles, but though I be rude in speech, he wasn't the best speaker, Paul wasn't, yet not in knowledge. No, Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Paul was well versed in the law. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because, listen to this, this always gets me. He says, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? In other words, and I'm not going to read all of the scriptures here, I don't have the time, I encourage you to go ahead and continue to read, because you will find over here, located in verse 10, where Paul finally says, regarding the fact of whether or not his love is actually being rumored, that he doesn't love the people in Corinth because he's not taking their money. When in fact Paul's saying, I didn't want to take your money, I took from others so that I wouldn't be ingratiated and you wouldn't have any control on what I would speak, because I needed to speak my mind and I needed to speak my heart. So therefore, I took money from others. In many respects, my friends, much like us today on the Armor of God, we don't ask for your money. Many of you viewing this program haven't contributed a penny to this program. And you know what? That's okay. We don't want your money in that regard. Unless, of course, you see some value in the program, well then, follow your heart. Of course, we are not going to turn away your donations or offerings, because it does indeed cost money for this telecast. But the bottom line is, we are not going to devote time and effort like some of the programs and broadcasts do, where half of their time, or in some cases all of their time, is devoted to talking about giving us donations or sowing seeds so that God will bless you. You can send us money, and guess what? I can confidently tell you there's no guarantee God's going to bless you. Now, I hope He will by virtue of your sacrifice and selflessness, but my friends, God is God, and how He sees fit and is suited to serve you in the needs that He deems necessary is up to Him. And sometimes, frankly, we can give all we want to give, and guess what? The kind of blessings that many of the televangelists today claim you're going to get, like new cars and new homes, or win the lottery, or you're going to have wealth and riches and this kind of money galore coming from all over the place. You know, a rich uncle or an aunt died and left you their estate. Well, there isn't necessarily that guarantee, because this isn't a gospel of wealth and health. The Apostle Paul, if you read this chapter and read the rest of it, I'll tell you what, my friends, read it. It is not a description of wealth and health when Paul goes through itemizing the whippings that he experienced and essentially being shipwrecked and on and on and on. These guys in this early New Testament church, as was portrayed in Hebrews 11, who lived in caves, who had their heads cut off, who were rejected out of the social systems over and over, these particular individuals who followed God made great sacrifices. And in no way, shape, or form, in many cases, not all, but in many cases, you could not really say that they were blessed in the physical sense or in the materialistic sense or with wealth and riches. And that's my point. But I digress. Getting back to what this gospel is all about, Paul, here in chapter 11, warning these Christians in Corinth about the fact that there were individuals that were spinning and attempting to undermine him because he, Paul, was shining light on their agenda. And part of that gospel, my friends, that Paul preached very clearly was the very gospel that Jesus Christ introduced to those that heard him back and recorded over in the book of Mark. Let me turn there real quickly here to this particular portion of Scripture in Mark chapter 1. Notice this, what Jesus Christ himself says. He says here now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee. This is verse 14 of Mark chapter 1. Jesus came into Galilee preaching, notice, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, this, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you, and believe the gospel. Believe the gospel, my friends. What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and therein lies answering some of this question that we had as to why you should accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The answer lies in a very underpinning element, a very strong dimension, a very poignant point of clarity that Christ was adamant for you and I to understand. And that is the dimension of the gospel, not only about him, the messenger, though that's important. And again, don't let me be interpreted as mitigating that. Jesus Christ is very key. His messiahship and him being Savior to humankind is tantamount to us having opportunity to be able to be saved and to have the doors open to us to enter into and be the beneficiaries of what he claims to be the kingdom of God. And what is this kingdom of God that he's talking about? Well, notice this, my friends, over here in Luke 9, because also the writer, Luke, in chapter 9, verifies, substantiates what Mark had said. And here in verse 1 of Luke 9, we read very clearly, then he called his 12 disciples together, notice this, gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. They were commissioned to introduce to their audience and to the people in that particular area of Judea and the areas out and about, as Jesus portrayed, he said, go to all nations and teach and preach and make disciples. That's what he said there in the latter scriptures of the book of Matthew. And part of all of that, my friends, deals with the advent of the fact of a kingdom that is coming to, of all things, notice, over here in Zechariah chapter 14, we will read, of all things, this kingdom coming to earth. Zechariah 14, notice, and it shall be, verse 8, in that day, that living waters shall go from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea. In the summer and in the winter shall it be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. That's right. You could read about it there in Revelation 19. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth to set up a world-ruling government. The kingdom of God is to be established on this planet. And you have been called to become kings and priests, as pointed out in Revelation 5 and verse 10, to rule nations, as also substantiated in Revelation 2 verse 36. And that is going to be obtained via a resurrection, so that when Christ comes bursting through the clouds, you're going to meet him in the air, as pointed out in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4 there, verses 13 through about 18. And how the resurrection is going to change you from physical flesh and blood to spirit to meet Jesus in the air and then to land where Zechariah claims he's going to land on the Mount of Olives to set up a world-ruling government. That's why you need to repent. That's why you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, so that you can be a part of this God family that will help to bring planet Earth into the peace and love that God wants humanity to experience. Oh, my friends, there's just so much I could talk about regarding this subject. You need to dial the 888 number right now at 578-8791. Get both of these offers that we have presented to you before earlier. One is a booklet, easily readable in one sitting, titled, What is the Real Gospel Truth? And a one-hour presentation given before a live audience titled, What is the Kingdom of God? Both of these will augment the program here, give you more detail that, unfortunately, because time has run out on me, I've been unable to really augment and explain. Don't forget, dial that 888 number now. We have operators standing by at 578-8791. And don't forget again, one more time, that website at www.cgi.org. My friends, the kingdom of God is coming. So therefore, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand and endure in these evil days that we're living in.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.